In the introit this morning for St. Joachim, we sing from the psalm, "He hath distributed, he hath given to the poor, his justice remaineth forever." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today is the feast day of God's grandfather, St. Joachim. The word means the preparation of the Lord, for he and St. Anne prepared the temple of the Most High, the Blessed Virgin Mary, for the Lord's coming. The day after his daughter's great triumph, her assumption into heaven, we associate the father with the daughter as his only fair in all of that glory, and we remember the role of the father, indeed of the grandfather, in God's plan. And we see the path to sanctity for all of us, regardless of our state of life, in its simplicity. You could sum it up from Scripture by saying, "Pay what thou owest and receive what thou needest." So I take my text from the introit, which refers to those twin duties of charity and justice. Father Cicada and I were the recipients of charity this past week, and I was very touched. We've had to see the same doctor for about 20 years, and he's an excellent man. He's an old-fashioned doctor who takes his time with you and asks questions and actually listens, and he wants to help. Well, you all know how anymore today the little man is being squeezed out of the scene, and with him goes good sense, charity too, as well as justice go. The independent businessman is pressured terribly for survival to sign up with some immense international corporation. The medical industry, say, for doctors, but the same thing has happened to small farmers or to independent funeral directors. Everybody must be part of some big profit-oriented and impersonal concern where it's all about regulations and the bottom line, how to bring in the buck, just business. So this doctor, a few years ago, had joined up with one of those local medical corporations called Mercy Health. It's a big conglomerate anymore, too. And among their rules were that prescriptions were never to be given by phone. You always make the patient come in to see the doctor each time a renewal is required. That way, you enhance income, which he found, along with many other rules that that good doctor did, to be entirely without mercy, even though that was their name, and an unbearable bureaucracy. But he had to be with somebody to survive, even to access records, I think, online. So his latest is he's joined up with a group called the MDVIP, and the idea is that you should pay extra for what was once pretty much available to everybody. That is to say that you could get in to see a doctor in a reasonable time when you actually needed him. But the fee, $1,000 a month, was an impossibility for us. We could certainly never afford $24,000 a year just to get in the door, no matter how sick we might be. So we wrote to him, and I had an appointment anyway last week, and we spoke with the doctor. When he saw us, he said, "Oh, he had forgotten about the priests, but of course he would cover us, and that as a matter of fact, the new plan allows for what is genteelly referred to as scholarships, up to about 50, which means charity cases." And I was very grateful to be accounted a charity case. And as they say in some places, that don't bother me none, because we all are charity cases, aren't we? He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. It is good to receive as well as to give. It's good to get sometimes. Because if we don't, if there isn't anybody on the receiving end, then the whole system of sanctity, remember, charity covereth a multitude of sins, doesn't function anymore. So imagine in today's last gospel, the Good Samaritan stops for that poor Jew who's been robbed and beaten up on his way to Jericho and left there on the side of the road, half dead. Now imagine if the wounded man, when he opens up maybe one eye and his jaw is dislocated and he's all covered in blood, and he looks up at the would-be Samaritan and he says, "No, I'm good. Thank you anyways." And then he collapses back into a puddle of his own blood. Why, there never would have been a good Samaritan for the story, would there? It's an American thing, I think. Pride, I mean, and hard work, and self-reliance. These are all good, of course. But was there ever a shiftless saint who would not work? But humility, you see, trumps self-reliance in the kingdom. But there's just a sense of reality that needs to obtain. It is good to receive a little charity here below. Now, at this point, you may say, well, you can say that because you're a priest, and priests pretty much live on charity, the free will offerings of the faithful on Sunday. And it is true, without charity, we'd never be able to make it. But without justice, neither will you. Remember St. Joachim's approach to tithing on his wife's feast day at the end of July? We talked about that. He gave not 10%, nor the 5%, which would be remarkably satisfactory today, but he gave 1/3 of his income, and he was a wealthy man. A whole third just went off the top to the temple and to its ministers, to the worship of God. And then another third, without question, to God's poor, charity. So you have justice and you have charity. And then the other third, what was left, that was for himself and his wife and then his baby daughter. This is how the father of the Mother of God handled things. What do you think is the most forgotten commandment? Now, that could be a long list, because just about any commandment today is broken and seems to be forgotten or ignored. But I mean forgotten as in unknown. As in, huh? Well, it's the last of the commandments. The last of the commandments of the church, which comes after those of God. The last of the 6 precepts, which we learned in catechism when we were little. To contribute to the support of the church. It's the last thing some people think about. In the old days, the tithe actually did mean the 10%, but today it's understood as half justice, that's the 5% that should go to the church, owed strictly to God, after all, from whom you've received all things, and the other half you give to God too, by means of or via the poor or a charity. It could be some needy family that you help out quietly and discreetly. It could be a contribution to our St. Anthony bread, or our burial fund, a scholarship for some bright young student in our school. It could be, as you do contribute once a month, to our seminary to train future priests, or support for our religious. But most Catholics think the whole thing is a free will offering. If I'm feeling flush, if I'm generous or guilty today, I'll give, or I'll give even a little more. But if not, well, the basket passes me by undisturbed. And how many of you will be surprised and disturbed at the last day when the accounts are totted up, to be in prison, perhaps in purgatory, until that last farthing be paid? And you hear those terrible words, pay what thou owest. Oh, I can't afford to. Somebody will say, of course, somebody always does. Yet somehow we find a way, we find the money for the things we want. Often it's for the things we don't need or which aren't even particularly good for us, whose purchase or possession does not make us any happier than we were before. So we were talking with the doctor the other day in his office, and he mentioned the statistic that he had come across, that there are only 13% of American households which have no cable television. And how much do you pay for all of that? Think of it. And at best, it's entertainment, but certainly not the best of entertainment. Usually, it's endangerment to the soul, an occasion of sin, an offense to God and to good sense, without even mentioning holy purity. And how much does it cost to stop by every morning at Starbucks? And they're no friends of religion, I can tell you that. Or to buy your lunch every day, or to purchase a pre-packaged one in the store for the week, rather than doing it yourself, the old way. Oh, the money's there. It's just the good old American virtues which are lacking. Pride, self-reliance, a little hard work. And to eat that way would be far better for you in any case. Why on earth would anyone, I think I will never be able to understand this, feel that he has to let the basket just pass him by of a Sunday? Really? Nothing? Not even the widow's mite? Don't you want to participate in the Mass by your offering, little though it may be? Regardless of how poor you are, can you not give as well as receive? How shamed was St. Joachim when the priest refused his offering, remember? And how shamed we should be to refuse to bring an offering, to pay our debt owed in justice. Now, imagination, of course, comes in here, the thought process. Some manage to pay in kind, and of course, that works too. But for most, it will be by means of the mammon of iniquity, money, well used, properly spent, that we prepare for ourselves, in this sense, for this commandment, an eternal dwelling place in heaven. Justice, charity. Don't go to heaven without both. You won't. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.